Hi, and welcome to the Living Waters for the World podcast, hosted by Kendall Cox and Doug Deppies, a space to share stories, inspire others, and learn from other water saints working in this ministry together.
Hi, this is Kendall Cox, Director of Education for Living Waters for the World, and I am here with
Doug Deppies, in-country coordinator for the Yucatan Network and social media manager.
I want to welcome you all to another conversation with one of our amazing volunteers. With us today, we have Mr. Kelly Goad, a member of the water team of his church, which is the Presbyterian Church of Bowling Green, Kentucky. Kelly, welcome to the conversation.
Oh, it's great to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
Doug, is Kelly not one of our most favorite people in the whole universe?
He is one of the most favorite and probably famous people in Living Waters.
So those of you who have not met Kelly yet, you're going to meet him this afternoon as you listen to our chat with him. Kelly is an administrator at our training school, Clean Water U, that we hold over at Camp Hopewell in Oxford, Mississippi. So he comes down. He's a big part of the setup and success and the breaking down of that class because we pop it up a couple of times a year. And we so appreciate all that he brings to that. And he does other things for Living Waters for the World, but that's one of the main things. He's also a member of the water team from his church. And we're going to hear a bit about that today. We're so glad you could spend time with us, Kelly.
Glad to be here. I had to take off work, but I'm in good shape today.
We're so glad to hear it. We tried to record this earlier while we were at the training school last month, and my audio just went all wonky. Blame it on me that we're redoing this, but we're glad that you made time for us today. So I don't know, Doug, where do we want to start with Mr. Goad? What do we want to hear from first?
I think we start at the start, how he got involved with Living Waters for the World.
Yeah, take us back to the beginning, Kelly. How did you get on the Living Waters for the World bus?
Oh, yes. My good friend and your all's good friend, John Grambling. I was serving as a deacon at that time. One night, the report to the deacons from the mission committee was that John was getting ready to make another trip to check on all of our water systems. And I hadn't retired yet, but I had some time off. And so when it was over, I called John. I said, John, I'd sure like to go with you sometime, you know, just as a gopher to hand you the pipe or something. And he said, well, we're leaving in the morning. We can get you on the plane. So that's how quick it was. And so there were three of us, Bill Oldham, myself, and John. Long story short, Miriam in Guatemala, her daughter met us at the airport, picked us up and took us to the house. John goes in first, and in comes Bill. And he introduces Bill, and I come in, and he introduces me as his new water team leader. And I turned around to see if there was anybody else back there coming behind me, but he had never mentioned a word about that. But John knew I couldn't say no, and I was ready to get started.
So you did that first trip, and then from there, you went to Clean Water U?
Yes. John told me I needed to go, to the health class, education. I'm glad I did. He said, we're going to pay your way. And later I found out it was Martha Haynes who had paid for my way to school. And so I went down there and had a great time. I had as my instructor,
I think it was Susan Jordan.
Susan Jordan, yes, thank you. And, you know, I kind of stayed around every day after class, cleaning stuff up, moving stuff around, helping her out, which I always, you know, that's just what I do. And at the end of the class time and getting ready to come home, I said to her, you know, if you ever need any extra help down here, just, you know, let me know. And my name may have come up at the table, I don't know, at your all's first, at your staff debrief. It wasn't a few days you called me, Kendall. I was sitting on my front porch over here, and it was a great conversation.
And ever since then, he's been hooked.
I am hooked.
I need to get a hold of some folks up there at the Bowling Green Church and thank them for sending you our way.
I appreciate that. Glad I did.
Doug, I have a question for you. Yeah. Now, Kelly, you have to be quiet because we're going to talk about you for a minute.
Okay,
Doug, if you were going to tell everybody what Kelly Goad's superpower is, what would that be?
It's twofold.
Okay.
There's two. One is storytelling. Storytelling is just Kelly's strength. So many times at Cleanwater U, when staff get to listen to Kelly time, I think I've done a few Cleanwater U's recently, or not recently, at some point where Kelly wasn't there, and it's way different. Like there's five different conversations of groups of two or three people talking, but if Kelly's in the room, it's Kelly time. It's Kelly's story time, and it's the greatest thing, and we're crying from laughter for the most part. So that's superpower number one. Superpower number two is what you hear from everyone else, and you just hear bits and pieces about his thoughtfulness. You know, he refers to himself as the mayor. He is the mayor, and the mayor needs to win his votes. And that happens, I think, by bread for the most part. Bread and birthday cards go out to, I don't even know how many people. I don't know if he knows how many people they go out to. That's superpower number two, is just that thoughtfulness. And before I let him speak again, I have my story, one of my special Kelly stories, which is a trip a couple of years ago in Belize. We'll talk about that more later. Kelly's waiting for us for dinner. My wife and I walk downstairs for dinner, and Kelly has on his cell phone typed out, translated from English to Spanish, because my wife didn't really speak English at that point, typed out saying that she looked beautiful that night. And it was just those little small things that's Kelly and so thoughtful. So yeah, those are my two superpowers for Kelly.
Do you accept that description of your superpowers, Kelly?
I appreciate that, Doug. And I didn't know I was monopolizing all the time at the table here in Cleanwater U.
So we love it.
Well, I come from a great line of storytellers, my father and his brothers, and that's all we've ever known is stories. And some of them are true. Most of them are true. And some of them, you know, it should have been true. As my grandmother said, if it wasn't that way, it should have been.
I like her thinking.
Oh, she's a good one. She'd be proud of me right now. But I do send birthday cards, and everybody thinks I send everybody a birthday card. I don't, but once I meet you, then more than likely you're going to get a birthday card from me. I hate to say this, but there are people in my church I don't know very well. And it used to be because there was a 8:30 and 11 service. Well, we cut that down to one service, and as I was getting to know more people, that's when COVID hit. And so there's a few people on my list, so I try to get people not to mention it to me in church that Kelly sends everybody a birthday card. You get me in trouble. I enjoy that more than anything. I'm afraid to count the number, and I don't, but it's like 20, 25, 30 a month.
Wow. And yeah. Here now we've said it on this podcast. Now everybody's going to want a birthday card from Kelly Yeo.
Yeah, just send me in.
That's right. We need to massage that hand so you can keep writing them. I got a thinking of you card from Kelly last month when I had my surgery. Folks can't see this because it's podcast, but I'm holding up to the screen for them to see. This is a picture of Kelly dressed as a taco, because it was Taco Tuesday, I guess, at Cleanwater U. As you can tell, we have a lot of fun with him, and we love to hear your stories at Cleanwater U and elsewhere. I'm big into stories. I think a lot of us are. It's a way that somebody speaks to our heart. They just invite us in. We're going to ask you about some stories from some of your installations, and I hope you'll feel free to share those with us. Now that we know how you got here, I'm wondering maybe even about that last visit that you all had to Belize. I know there was a big crew of folks who went with you. It was a very interesting partnership that developed and how it came about. I wonder if you might tell us something about that visit to Belize.
Well, everything fell in place like it's supposed to. You know, normally you say, well, everything's going to go smooth. And sometimes it does. Most of the time they forgot something or we forgot something. This was a trip to install at the Armenia Government School in Armenia, Belize. A famous lady from our church that paid for my first tuition, Martha Haynes, had passed away the past year. And she had left with her husband. He made it work, a gift, to do whatever we needed to do to make this a good installation and a good memory, and name it in Martha's name, in honor and memory of Martha Haynes. And her daughter, Kathy, and Bo, her husband, I guess she got them on the ball, or she just decided that's what she wanted to do. And I think they came out to Calvin Crest, got fired up. And so once we made the contact and got together, they were fantastic. Their education, leadership, And it was just fantastic. I've never seen it work that good. I've never had a team like that. It's really good. And it makes me feel inadequate that we don't have a team all the time. But now we got Melissa Johnson, who is just begging to go. I'm hoping that Kathy and Bo will go back with me when Melissa goes her first time to help her.
I think this is a good spot to call them out, if you like, and put the pressure on them, right?
Because we'll send them a link to this podcast and then they'll be like, oh, okay, well, Kelly asked. He doesn't say no to anything, so we shouldn't say no either.
I sent her a sympathy card. Her husband passed away a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Haynes.
Martha Haynes's husband. Yeah, Dr. Haynes.
And yeah, and then so in the card, I kind of mentioned I miss you all and maybe you could go on another trip with us. And then when she wrote me back or sent me text or Facebook, she said, yeah, we're excited. We might be able to go again. So I got the fire lit and I'm sure they'll keep it going.
Yeah, they came out for training. I loved meeting them. And you could just see how Martha, Kathy's mom, I mean, a long, long time supporter, volunteer, she was a part since the beginning of Living Waters for the World. And to see that go on to the next generation, Kathy and Bo, and on that dream team, you also pulled in Erlene from Texas. So it was... But sometimes that's how teams get put together. It doesn't have to be just one church entity or one civic organization. You can pull in people from different parts of the country if you need to.
That was great, too. Didn't hit me till we all got there how many of us there were. I think there were 17 of us. I have to give a shout out to Doug. I invited him to come and video it and take pictures. Well, little did I know, he had to ride a bus from Cancun for 8 hours to get to Belmopan. And we finally got over and got him picked up. But I thought, my goodness, he's a hero. But then he was traveling with one of the prettiest girls in the country. So that made it nice, too. So I could ride a bus with her if I had to.
That makes time go quicker, doesn't it?
It does.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say, Kendall, is he pulled in a lot of people. He pulled in us, too, into that. I can't say we made the dream team, but it was great to be a part of that dream team.
You did. We discussed it last night at our mission meeting about how awesome, and that video, all of them have seen it, and lots of people have seen it around here, but just inspired to do more and promote more Living Waters. And of course, I try to do that every day, and it's hard to do sometimes, now that I don't work anymore, nobody invites me to come speak. I used to get all these speaking engagements. I tell them about it. One of these days, I'm going to get the Rotary Club in here. One of these days, I went and spoke to them 3 or 4 years ago, and I didn't ask for anything. I just told them about it and told them we'd put some systems in where they put wells in. When I got finished, everybody, shaking hands and all that, and I got ready to leave, and one of the members, a good friend of mine, he said, we need to be supporting Living Waters for the World. I said, it's a perfect tie-in. It was a great trip. That inspired me to stay on and just keep on putting water systems in. That whole trip was just wonderful. And the video, I bet I've watched it 25 times. I just love to watch it. And the music was great. Everything was good. And miss old Ken, but I always like to see him in there because he enjoyed what he was doing.
We're going to put a link to that video in the show notes so everybody can see. This is a video that Doug put together. It's beautiful of that partnership in Belize. And what a beautiful memorial to the memory of Martha Haynes, as that was dedicated to her memory. I wish everybody got something like that. Do a water system in my memory when I'm gone, so there can be clean water for everybody.
I always think back to that trip with such joy. And I think one of the biggest things about that, and I think you can talk to a little bit about, is the flexibility of Living Waters, especially like on the education side, like you said. We had 4 languages being spoken on that site. There were people that speak in a Belizean Creole, Spanish, Mayan, and English.
Wow.
And even on the installation side where Kelly was at, everyone spoke English, but they were more comfortable in Spanish. You just have to be flexible with it. And they did an amazing job with that and made it work. And you're still in contact there with Abby, right?
Oh, yes.
And Adelso.
Oh, yeah. Can't do without Adelso. They recently got married. Sent me all their wedding pictures. It was just beautiful. The last I heard, when the COVID was so bad, everything was shut down, she would go out at night in Adelso's truck and take water to the older folks, the seniors, and the sick people. She would take clean water to them once or twice a week and not charge them anything. And she's a dedicated individual. If we ever have a network there, she might be a possibility of a great person. She's good.
That's wonderful to hear, and blessings to her on her marriage. We talked a little bit about how you got involved. I definitely want to hear from you. In addition to that, why? Why have you stayed involved all these years? It's been a long time now. You could be doing other things with your time and your talent and your treasure. Why Living Waters for the World, Kelly?
The first trip and visiting all of our sites, taking pictures with little children, seeing what good it does, I knew right then that I was called. I've always known I've been put on earth to help other people. My grandmother taught me that, and it stuck with me all these years, and that's what I try to do, is help other people. Each time I go, I get that feeling of connectivity with those children there that I can come back and talk to folks here about, do you know how many children die every year of waterborne disease? And we didn't know that. We'd never heard that. There's so many people that don't know about Living Waters. What little I can do and what one or two systems I can get in every now and then, it's what I'm supposed to do. That's why I do it. That's what God wants me to do, help other people. And this is a way to reach a lot of people through a water system. It sure is.
Amen. You hear that a lot. We talk about it at training school, people before PVC, or we say start with heart, heart before hardware. It's the relationships. It's not just the water that's going through the filters and then being disinfected with ozone or UV. It's not just the water that's changed and transformed. We as partners are changed. And we do believe that that's how God calls us to work. We've learned a lot over the years. We tried to do better when we've learned better from each other, from our partners. I firmly believe that's how God calls us to work. We're grateful that you're a part of the team, the dream team of how we teach at Clean Water U. You're a storyteller, but you might not be a fortune teller. So it's hard to think about what might be on the horizon in 2022 or a year from now, what we might be celebrating together. But what do you see is just around the corner, perhaps for your water team or for Living Waters for World? What are you looking forward to in the coming year?
The first thing we're going to do is, since we've missed almost 2 years of this, is send our discovery team down to Belize on the other side of the country, San Antonio. Ken and I had made one visit there. And I'm afraid now that they don't have any clean water, because at that time, the system they had was, it's like a system that's supposed to be out in the Sahara Desert somewhere. It was a good system for a while, but they had a few around the United States and it all started breaking down. And this was the last one, and they had been taking parts from those others to keep it running. So we were anxious to get back down there in the next 2 or 3 months. Well, then everything shut down. There's 550 kids in this school, and it's a nice small village. We're looking forward to the principal of the school is just excited about it. But that's right around the corner of the first of the year. So I'm going to start making some contacts with our Pathways folks down there, the Pathway Mission folks, who help find these places for us to make sure that it's all right to come on down and go out there and get that going again. And then we have to go back to St. Margaret's and work on that system a little bit. We check it every time we go. It's a Catholic school. The guy that was running it, he was a teacher there, and he got transferred to another school. While we were down there, there were little boys filling bottles and running that system, and they couldn't have been over 9 or 10, 8 or 10 years old. They're trying.
I think one thing that's interesting, and maybe you can explain a little bit more, is Belize is a little different for us because, like you said, it's not a network, but you guys have connections there and partners that are able to help you install new systems and rehab existing systems. How does that work out in a country like Belize?
So far, everything has gone real good. Where we've put the last two installations, Belmopan and St. Margaret's, we're within about 30 minutes, 45 minutes to a store down there the size of Lowe's. It's in the capital city. Capital city now is Belmopan. There's a lot of good resources there, and there are good places to stay. We're meeting more and more people, and usually when we do one school, they'll recommend somebody else, another church or a school that we might look at. So I think we've got a lot of work ahead of us in developing Belize into a network.
For sure. Do you want to throw out a quick promo, pulling people to Belize? Why should people come and work in Belize?
I'll tell you the first thing is you ain't going to the beach. When we go head out after the airport, people go to the right to the beach. We turn left and go to the jungle. But it's beautiful out there, and the people are so nice and friendly and smiling and glad you're there. I can tell you that the good times to go and the hot times not to go, it's just something that'll be with you from now on. I mean, it's like Fred Higgins and now Melissa Johnson said after they got back from school, it changes your entire life. It changes the perspective that you have about things. And that's what we're trying to do down there is wanting everybody to have a perspective of we can do this for this whole country if we want to. So anytime you want to go.
And since you mentioned the whole country, I mean, it's not that far off. I mean, Belize is a small country. I'm pretty sure Belmopan, like you said, the capital city is actually the smallest capital in the world.
Yes, it is.
It's 3,000 people or so.
Yeah, you're right. It is small.
Exactly. And one thing and that makes it, I don't want to say makes it easier because it's not a complete rule, Belize is an English-speaking country.
Yes, yes.
So, and like I said, in the install we did in Armenia, we had people that didn't speak English, that only spoke Spanish and Mayan, you know, so it's not 100% English, but you do run into a majority of people that speak English, and it makes your work a little bit easier then when you're able to communicate directly with your partners.
So it does, and they teach English as a first language in the schools. Everything is English. You're exactly right. And that does make it, it just makes it easier for simple folks like me.
We always have our interpreters with us. Doug has helped my team. I took him with our team to Cuba and he filled in a lot of ways. Doug's always part of the dream team. You know, I love that you've kind of given some information about Belize. Since it's not one of our networks, we don't know what the future is going to hold. Maybe it will be a network in the future. We might have some staff there. The beautiful thing is we do have some folks who've already come through Clean Water U from Belize. Seeds have been planted for many, many years now, and some stuff's starting to grow. So that's how things get started. That's how we could end up having a number of water partners in Belize. I'm wondering, Kelly, if you have maybe any advice for a new water team, maybe a water team, they're just getting started or they're thinking, maybe it's a church or a civic organization that's thinking about starting a water team to come through Living Waters for the World and be a partner to work with the community that has water, but it's contaminated. Do you have any advice for them?
My best advice, I would say, would be to go to school first at Clean Water U. It makes all the difference in the world. Definitely get to schooling. Take somebody with you from another team that has experience to kind of help walk you through it. We got a good book to go by and all that stuff. And once we sat down and find it in the book, Ken kept telling me, it's in the book, Kelly. It's on that thumb drive. So I learned a lot from Ken. That's what I would advise. But, you know, get prepared before you go.
Sure. And if you, an extra plus is if you get to Clean Water U, most likely you'll get to meet Kelly in person there. That's worth the price of admission right there.
Oh, gosh. Well, Doug, you're making me look too good, buddy. I tell you what, I guess I'll come back in April.
We got to have you there. Got to have you there.
You two are great.
We joke, of course, with each other. We're also very serious that we can't do what we do without all of our amazing volunteers. And you are one of those.
Thank God
has blessed us with many. We got to have Kelly. We got to have Kelly time. And we love the stories. Just keep those stories coming and making people feel welcome. I wonder if there's anything that we didn't ask you about, but you want to say it anyway. Now's the time.
That's a tough question. I guess I'm pretty good where I am. I mean, you know, if somebody wants to brag on me, that's okay. And I'll send them a loaf of bread or something. But other than that, I'm fine.
It's good bread, y'all. It's good bread. But if it's true, it's not bragging, Kelly. So.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
We want to say thank you for hanging out with us today, answering our questions, laughing with us, dressing up as a taco or, you know, whatever's involved. You just ask Kelly, he's going to do it.
That dressing up goes a long way back. We used to have Wednesday night dinners at our church, and we had a theme night every Wednesday night. And I have got an album full of me in outfits, from leprechauns to grapes from Fruit of the Loom to.
You got to bring that album in April.
I will.
Y'all, I do want to tell you that Kelly dressed up as Santa Claus for us last December, because we had a Zoom Christmas party. Kelly was our Santa.
Yeah. Well, I get to be Santa about four times in December, and they still call me from where I work. I'll do the skill care side and the retirement independent living side and the assisted living side three different times, and they look forward to it every year. I look forward to it, too.
Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I love y'all bunches.
We love you.
We love you, too. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Doug. Take care. Tell Laura hello.
Will do.
Nonprofit organization that believes that having access to purified water shouldn't come down to where you live or how much money you have in your pocket. Everyone should have drinking water that brings not illness or disease, but good health and refreshment. What makes Living Waters for the World unique is that we use volunteers, regular folks like you and me, and we train them to work together as partners to make access to sustainable purified water a reality for communities around the world. We have over 1,000 water partners serving communities in 26 countries. The world water crisis is huge, and one thing is certain, none of us can tackle it alone. We believe that with God's help and by partnering together, we can make a difference, a real difference, one community at a time. This is how we respond to God's call to love and to serve. And it's not only the water that has changed, we are as well. To learn more about Living Waters for the World, visit us on the web, www.livingwatersfortheworld.org. You can find us on social media and subscribe to our podcast. And we would love it if you would become a Living Waters for the World cupbearer, one of our monthly supporters. $5 a month makes a big difference in supporting families around the world and having access to a sustainable source of clean drinking water. Thanks for listening and sharing. Contact us to find out how you can be a part of this water ministry.